Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our Thanksgiving service. Thanksgiving is right around the corner. I know our turkey is defrosting the refrigerator. Let's open our service with a word of prayer.
Okay, responsive opening. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me,
go into the house of the Lord.
Okay, let's try it once more. I was really glad when they said unto me,
let us go into the house of the Lord.
Let us pray. Our dear God and Heavenly Father, we've gathered here this morning to praise you, to praise your Son, Jesus Christ, the mighty works that you've done, the creation, everything that we have. We seek your blessing, Lord, on our congregation, on our country, on our leaders. We seek your blessing on all those in the world that are struggling, that are hungry, that are cold, that are tired. Bring peace to their souls that only Jesus can bring. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, Tom is going to favor us with a prelude. So think among yourselves how great it is. As you may know, Tom Wirtz is finally old enough to move in to Heritage Eagle Bend. And to show that he's ready to be a member, he told me this first song he couldn't remember how many verses or which ones. So if the words run out and we're still singing, hum along, do something, okay? Don't look at him and glare. So why don't we stand? We're going to sing Revive Us Again.
Very own. We'd like to thank our helpers, thank them for filling boxes, thank all of you for filling boxes, and we have about 70 boxes up here. Wow. Okay, now, just in case you're curious, these boxes today, we'll load them in our car, and they go to a place where lots of other people are turning in boxes today. And from there, they all get sorted out, and they get put in a big brown box and sent all around the world to children. Some will go by airplane, some will go by boat, and when they get to the country they're going to, they have to get to little villages. They might go on a camel, they might go on an elephant, they might go on a rickety truck, or they might be carried. And the children will receive their boxes. Then they have how many go to Sunday school or been to vacation Bible school, right? Okay, so the children will have about a week of Sunday school or Bible school with special teachers. And when that is all over, they'll get a Bible, all their very own. They have a little graduation when they'll wear a little yellow cape, I think. So we're going to show you a really short video, and you'll see the boxes being packed. Like you packed your boxes. You'll see the children so happy to receive them. You'll see boxes going. I think they're carrying them across a rickety bridge. And you'll see the happy children in their yellow graduation little capes when they get their Bibles. These boxes are stuffed very full. Some of them are really heavy. But you know there's room in every box for one more thing.
Are you guys going to help me put some more in the boxes? Come on forward. Come on. We'll put our hands on the box. Come on. Come up and put your hand on the box. And we're going to pray. Dear Lord, we ask you to be with these boxes as they go all around the world. Some children have never received any gifts before, and this will be the first time. But today we're going to put another special helper in the box. We're going to put an angel. In each one of these boxes is going to go a special angel. In your name, amen. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. You go sit down.
How do you follow that? I mean, that is fantastic. Thank you, Lois and Tom, very, very much for what you've done. You know, when the church first started, we had someone come to the church, and of course, you know, we were criticized and so forth, but this person was really amazing. He said, "Your church is never going to grow if you do not have a mission, or missions that you support." And at that time, you know, we were probably bringing in maybe $100 a week, maybe. And so that had always weighed heavy on my heart, always. And we have grown from this gentleman who obviously didn't come back because he wanted to head the missions for our church. And at that time, I think there was like 10 people in our church. So it was kind of hard to see 10 people do the whole thing. But anyway, as you know, like just like me, when the church got started, I had these incredible programs that I thought we should do. And y'all just stood there and sat there and looked at me. So therefore, we didn't do them. So, but anyway, thank you, Tom and Lois, for taking, just running with the missions, because you guys have taken it from a level that wasn't to a level that it is. And we thank you from the bottom of our hearts, because you have just absolutely expanded, and you have a committee. I don't know if your committee is here. If they are, could you stand so people will know who's on that committee? Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you very, very much.
Would you stand, please, for our next hymn, Spirit of the Living God.
Bow our heads in prayer. Is that all right? Like that? Okay. Our Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, we have so many blessings to thank you for. We thank you for all the continued success of our Eagle Bend Community Church, the Christian work our church performs in the HEB community, the new life in Christ Church, and the missions we support. There are many problems that still remain in this world, such as the violence in the cities of the United States and particularly in the Middle East. We pray that the violence will end in the United States in some way, the peaceful, responsible nations in Europe, the Middle East, and the United States will find a way for peace and prosperity in the Middle East. Our prayers are for protection of our military personnel throughout the world, in dangerous places, and your guidance for our leaders in making the best decisions in dealing with the world's problems. Thank you for the responding to our prayers for the many people with health problems and all you do for all the people this world. Amen. Thank you.
The last two times Bruce assigned a scripture reading to me, they were really long. And as you may or may not remember, and I was really looking forward to reading a scripture today because I knew that Bruce was going to give me a nice, short scripture with easy words to pronounce. Well, it really didn't turn out that way. It's 2.5 pages. Well, not really 2.5 pages, but 2.5 half a page for each page. So I printed off this scripture, and the first problem I had, I didn't know how to pronounce the name of this book. And I called Bruce. It's a tough name. Habakkuk? He said Habakkuk is okay. Then I talked to Nancy Tissue, who led a Bible study on this many years ago, and I was going to have her come up and give a 5 to 10 minute presentation on this book. It's a very uncommonly known book, Habakkuk. We had dinner last night with three couples that were all neighbors in Village East, which is over by a shopping center in Aurora. And one couple is devout Lutherans. They attend a Lutheran church. And two couples are Catholics. They go to Queen of Peace and St. Thomas More. And so I was kind of nervous last night about reading the scripture. So I told them I had to read the scripture today. And I told them it was on the book of Habakkuk. I do a lot of blank expressions. The only one at our table that knew anything about this book was Artie. They've never heard of this book. Two of the ladies were really students of the Bible. So they went back and pulled out the Bible where we were that night, and sure enough, they found it. So I called Bruce and I said, this is kind of a confusing thing to read today. So I'm going to give you a few details about Habakkuk. He was one of the 12 minor prophets. This book was written around 610 BC. And this was the time when Babylon was becoming a very strong power in the Middle East. Nothing's known about Habakkuk. He does emphasize God's majesty a lot in this reading. He shows great faith in God no matter how bad things are. And apparently they were at that time. Is that correct, Bruce and Betty? He played a major influence on two of the major personalities in the Christian church. And this is really interesting. One was Paul. Paul referred to Habakkuk a lot in Paul's preachings. I didn't know that. And then Martin Luther referred a lot to Habakkuk through Paul's teachings of Habakkuk. I thought that was real interesting. And then Martin Luther went on to have the Protestant Reformation. Okay, now here, this is a prayer, apparently. Is that correct, Bruce? It was given in the temple, and Betty. And so this is it. The prophet's prayer. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand. And there his power was hidden. Before him went pestilence, and fever followed at his feet. Now, this next area talks about the cushions, which were, the people lived in tents, apparently, and they were experiencing God's wrath. And also talks to Midianites who were, I guess, dealing some problems. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills bowled. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian, the Midianites, trembled. O Lord, were you displeased with the rivers? Was your anger against the rivers? Was your wrath against the sea? That you rode on your horses, your chariots of salvation, your bow was made quite ready, oaths were sworn over your arrows. Now the next word here is Selah, which means listen. Let me see Selah up there. Now this part of this prayer, which was given at the temple, is talking about some victories at Gibeon and with Cannon. Correct, Bruce? And you divided the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and trembled. The overflowing of the river of the water passed by. The deep uttered its voice and lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the lights of your arrows they went. At the shining of your glittering spear, you marched through the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in anger. You went forth for the salvation of your people. For salvation with your anointed, you struck the head from the house of the wicked by laying bare from foundation to neck, Selah, which means listen. Now, this next portion apparently talks about the destruction of the Egyptians when God separated the Red Sea and Moses could lead the Israelites through the Red Sea. Again, talking about what God did. You thrust through this with his own arrows, the head of his villages. They came out like a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was like feasting on the poor in secret. You walked through the sea with your horses, through the heap of great waters. Now, the interpretation of this, there's a couple interpretations of this statement. Habakkuk hears of God's mighty deeds that he'd done in the past for Israel, and it makes Habakkuk physically weak. And Habakkuk's also talking about the fact he fears that Babylon's going to invade Israel. When I heard, my body trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. Now, a hymn of faith. He talks about anticipating the terrible invasion of Israel by Babylon. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there may be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord and I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. This means that God is sure-footed and he will make me walk on my high hills. Amen.
Would you stand, please, as we join together and sing the doxology?
We praise you, O Lord. We give thanks to you, O Lord. We give thanks to you especially during this season. We remember everything that you have done for us, especially your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived and died and gave us our salvation. Amen.
Yeah. You hear me okay? Okay, our group is going to sing a song that was very well known in the early 60s. I'm sure you will all recognize it, although I don't. I had to do that. It is what it is. The song sings about a little congregation that prays for one of its members throughout his life, just as our little congregation prays for our members, and it's called The Three Bells.
Are we on?
There's a village hidden deep in the valley, among the pine trees half forlorn. And there, on a sunny morning, little Jimmy Brown was born.
Bum, 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 bum.
All the bells and chapels bum, ringing
bum,
in the little valley town.
Bum,
and the songs that they were singing
bum,
was for baby Jimmy Brown.
Bum,
and the little congregation
ooh,
prayed for guidance from above. Lead us not into temptation, bless this hour of meditation, guide him with eternal love.
There's a village hidden deep in the valley, beneath the mountains high above. And there, 20 years thereafter, Jimmy Brown was to meet his love.
Bum, 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 bum.
All the chapel bells are ringing.
Bum,
the greatest in his life.
Bum,
'cause the songs that they were singing
bum,
was for Jimmy and his wife.
Bum,
and the little congregation
ooh,
prayed for guidance from above. Lead us not into temptation, bless, O Lord, this celebration. May their lives be filled with love.
From the village, hidden deep in the valley, one rainy morning, dark and gray, a soul winged its way to heaven. Jimmy Brown had passed away.
Bum, 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 bum.
Just the lonely bells were ringing
bum,
in a little valley town.
Bum,
'twas farewell that they were singing
bum,
to the little Jimmy Brown. And our little congregation prayed for guidance from above. Lead us not into temptation, may his soul find the salvation
of thy great eternal love.
Great, great job, guys. Wow.
Even you, Phil.
Especially Phil. Thank you, Don, for that exposition of our scripture this morning. It was great. Amen. Next week, we're going to have a special guest in the pulpit. The Honorable Thomas DiMarino is going to be telling his story next week. It's going to be fabulous because I know his story, second only to Betty's story. You know, our existence here on earth is very short and tenuous. We are very thankful during this season, and I'll be sending out the President's Proclamation for Thanksgiving in the next day or two. But the liberties and protection that are guaranteed by our Constitution, but they are not cast in concrete. They are man-made. We look to those guarantees that can't be broken. What are those guarantees that can't be broken? What are the eternal guarantees that serve us without warning, without wavering? Well, most of us recognize the name of Ann Graham Lotz. She's the daughter of Billy and Ruth Graham. She was called on American Christians to spend 7 days in fervent prayer for our nation. This is part of what she wrote in the prayer. She said, "One of the things God has impressed upon me that we are living at the end of human history as we know it. In light of this, he has given me some practical assignments. He gave me a message that I was to deliver to a nation, National Day of Prayer, which was from the book of Joel." The book of Joel. Anybody know the book of Joel? "The day of the Lord is at hand. This is a message that there's judgment coming." She said, "It's all about calling people together to pray for our nation." I agree, and most people agree that America is in trouble. Before it's too late. You know, we have expressions in our own vocabulary. For example, before it's too late, when judgment is coming, we say, when the chickens come home to roost, when the skeletons come out of the closet, when it comes time to pay the piper. Sooner or later, we have to face the consequences of the choices we have made. Now, we as a country cannot continue to mock God forever. Throughout history, throughout the Bible, through the thousands of years of the Bible, it shows when a nation mocks God, God brings down tribulation upon them. Now, I'm not making a political endorsement because I can't. We are 501c3, and we cannot make a political endorsement. But we need to have a president, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, or whatever, who will have the intestinal fortitude to reinstill Christian values in our nation.
Amen.
Thank you. I believe that Ann Graham Lotz was correct. We need God to do something before it's too late. But isn't God putting the something to do in our hands too, that we just, I'm not going to let him do it alone? It sounds like the prophetic book of Habakkuk. Thank you for this reading again, Don. Be careful, I might call upon you to preach. God had told the prophet very clearly, judgment is coming. We move from clarity to fear to faith in this third chapter of Habakkuk. Nothing has changed on the outside. The world was in terrible shape, but things happened to Habakkuk on the inside of him. Chapter 3, after the first two chapters, is very good. It's full of good news. How did he get there from where he was? Habakkuk changed his whole being. Chapter 3 has three parts: a prayer, a vision, and a testimony. Number one, the prayer. "Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in my day and in our time. Make them known. In wrath, remember mercy." It's as if Habakkuk is saying, "Lord, I know bad times are coming. I accept that. I'm not fighting against your plan. But, oh, Lord, if hard times must come, don't let the Babylonians wipe us out. Remember mercy or we will perish. Don't let ISIS wipe us out. Don't let those against us, against our society, wipe us out." It's an honest prayer. It's a desperate prayer. How many of us have had desperate prayers? I can look across this room. I know so many of you so well, and I know that there have been desperate prayers. Twice he says, "Do it now, Lord, in our time and in our day." Consider the crisis that's happening in the Middle East and in America. You know that ISIS is growing in America? That's what the headlines in the news yesterday, that from within the United States, ISIS is growing from recruitments of Americans. How do we stop those brutal killings where a person can walk up right next to you with a bomb on their back and don't care if they get blown up and take down hundreds and hundreds of people like they did in Paris last week? It didn't happen in downtown Paris like you would think under the Eiffel Tower or of the of the route, what's the name of the Champs-Élysées? Right. It didn't happen there, downtown. It happened in the suburbs like Aurora, like Broomfield, like Boulder. They are not shy about announcing their plans to move on Europe and the United States, specifically in Washington, D.C. On the one hand, our president says his main objective is to protect American lives. And on the other hand, he says we can't stop letting in radical Muslims because that's against our Constitution. We must realize that the words of the Statue of Liberty, "Give me your tired, your poor, your restless refuge waiting to be free," is different. In those days, people were coming to the United States to build the country up. We have to be aware of that. We ought to read this prayer of the prophet against that backdrop. What's going to happen? Is there going to be another 9/11 here? Someplace? Somewhere? In Aurora? In Denver? Who knows? Maybe all over the country. So I'm not sure about the timing. You know, we think that sometimes when we were brought down so low by evil forces that there's a revival coming. I like the old Chinese prayer. The old Chinese prayer says, "O Lord, change the world, but begin, I pray, with me." My greatest challenge is the man in the mirror in the morning. That's my biggest challenge, the man in the mirror in the morning. Everyone has got to be aware. Secondly, Habakkuk had a vision. He had a vision of God. God revealed himself in a dream. But knowing the nation faces imminent judgment, Habakkuk says, "Lord, do something." This vision is God's answer, as if God says, "Habakkuk, you have forgotten who I am. You're talking as if I can't hear you, as if I don't have any power. Let me show you who I am, because if you understand who I am, you'll be able to sleep at night." We so often don't give God the power that he really can use. "Have you forgotten what I've done for you in the past?" He said, "Look at, as Don read, you know, I opened the waters, the Red Sea, and brought the Israelites out of Egypt into the Promised Land. Look what I did." We need a big God. He's big enough, but he must be big for you. He must take over your life. We have to have the utter defeat of those who oppose God. The divine determination to do whatever it takes to deliver you from the forces that are against our Christianity. If you had a bigger God, you wouldn't worry so much. If you had a bigger God, you wouldn't worry in times of crisis. If you had a bigger God, you'd be less willing to compromise instead of standing by your values. The third part of Habakkuk 3 is the testimony. You come to the end of the book. First, there was acceptance. "I will wait patiently the day of calamity to come on the nation," he says. "I get it, Lord. The Babylonians are going to come, will attack us, and you will judge them. I will wait for that day to come." But then Jerusalem didn't fall for another 70 years. Habakkuk was gone by then. Now, the next part shows about what faith is like when life tumbles around us. It says, "Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, and though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, although there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord and I'll be joyful in my God, my Savior." How is that possible? How can a person like Habakkuk praise the Lord when he's lost everything? What happens if your investments disappeared tomorrow? What would happen? This is one of the biggest threats of our whole society. What would happen if the electric grid was brought down by terrorism? Think about it. No heat, no gasoline, no refrigeration, no banking, no traffic lights. It's not too bad. We have no electricity. How could we survive? Could we then say, "Thank you, Lord"? Yes, thank you, Lord. Too many of us are Christians that have the God of the good times. Oh, we love God during the good times, and we get angry to God when things happen against us. Or you can choose to be on God's side forever. Faith isn't about my feelings. It's less about my circumstances. The sovereign Lord is my strength, Habakkuk says. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Talking about the feet is our journey through life. Have you ever traveled through the high country of Colorado and seen the Rocky Mountain bighorn sheep scamper up and down and the goats go up and down the mountains? Several decades ago, I was hiking close to the top of a mountain called Big Bear in California. I was up there, and it was in the wintertime, and it was nice and cool. I came around a bend on this path, and there was a herd of 20 bighorn sheep, about a couple dozen anyway. And they saw me, and with a snort, they ran down a side of the mountain that was about 70 degrees. It was amazing how they did it. Now, if you know the Lord, like the bighorn and Rocky Mountain sheep, he will give you stability on the slippery, rocky moments of life. It reminds me of Ephesians 6:13, when it says, put on the armor of God. Use that power. Use that power. And be safe when the battle is over. We can stand when others fall around us, and that's where the book ends. The book ends, and nothing has changed on the outside. There's still terrible desolation and problems. Habakkuk has changed on the inside. These are confusing and troubling times, aren't they? What's going to happen? What do we do? Each one of us can do something, and that is pray. And that is with push back against those that want to take away our values, our Christian values. I'll leave you with one final thought on the Sunday before Thanksgiving, which our prophet of the day, Habakkuk and Don Nuss, would embrace. You'll never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. And when Jesus is all you have, then and only then you discover that Jesus is all you need. I repeat that once more. You will never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. And when Jesus is all you have, then and only then you will discover that Jesus is all you need. Let us confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He preached to the dead. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, whence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
I wanted to thank Phil and the Three Bells also. Debbie may not have remembered this, but when that song came out, it was on top 10 radio. You could hear it anywhere in America. Can you imagine a church song being on top 10 radio today? Oh, that would offend somebody. Now we're going to prepare our hearts for communion. This song at first is going to seem a little like you don't know it, but Tom says, we'll all know the tune, so it'll be easy to sing along. Will you stand, please? We're going to sing Sometimes a Light Surprises.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he gave it to his disciples, he broke it and said, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you." After they finished eating, he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Drink all of it in remembrance of me." And now let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
I hope you'll agree, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We're glad for it. Now, if you'll stand, we're going to sing our closing hymn, "Sunshine in My Soul." Thank you.
Don't forget to sign up for the Christmas dinner. And Betty's collecting the $10, which is a mere portion of the fee for the dinner. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.